I'd like to invite you to turn with me to today's focus passage and New Testament reading, which is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. As always, you are welcome to follow along in your own Bible or device, or you can simply listen to these words as I read. Once again, this is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" Billy Graham would often ask at his crusades, "You've never seen God? You've never seen him? I've never seen the wind. I've seen the effects of the wind, but I've never seen it." Billy Graham made this comparison in an apologetic sense to let the crowds know that just because we couldn't detect God through empirical means or scientific methods doesn't mean that God doesn't exist, because we see the effects of God all around us. When we hear this illustration, though, and when Billy Graham gave this illustration, we don't want to look away from that key phrase, the effects of the wind. It's one thing not to see the wind and compare God to that, but let's focus in on the effects of the wind. Because wind is more than something we notice sitting outside on a spring day such as this. Wind is the underlying factor of most of our weather patterns. In fact, in an earlier passage that Karen read, Ezekiel talked about the four winds. In the book of Revelation, the angels hold back the four winds of the earth. In fact, the word "the four winds" is present throughout the scripture narrative and throughout other ancient texts. You see, the ancients believed that there were four winds, and it made most sense, coming from all directions, north, south, east, and west. And those four winds would change the fortune and the well-being of the people depending on which way they blew in from. So, for instance, a wind that would blow in from the west usually meant that there would be wintry rains, which would mean more of an abundance of crops. A wind blowing in from the south would be warm, and it would sweeten the fruit, which would be good for the economy. A north wind would bring in unpleasant weather, and it would mean scarcity for the crops. And an east wind would bring in a desert dry heat, blazing heat, sandstorms. When we think about the effects of the wind, we can remember that God's influence is powerful and comes from all directions in the form of the Holy Spirit, and that this wind literally changes the world around us in ways that we ourselves never could. Today is Pentecost Sunday, the day where churches across the world celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit on God's people and simultaneously the birth of the church. It is today that we celebrate one and the same, that when the Holy Spirit comes, the church has power to do God's work in these final days. Now, when I use the phrase final days, some of your ears may have perked up. I'm not suggesting the world is about to end, although, of course, it always might. At the very least, we can say we are all living in our own final days, knowing that we all stare down the face of death day by day. But the point I'm trying to make is that this Spirit comes and is with the church throughout the rest of its life. Until the time Christ returns, we believe the Spirit is on us and the Spirit is working through us every step of the way. And so today we are going to focus on the Spirit as wind. Now you may be thinking, Jeremy, I see your sermon title. It says God is Spirit, and yet you've talked a lot about wind. Are you talking today about God as wind or God as Spirit? And the answer is yes. To the ancients, the wind was basically Spirit. We're not sure if they necessarily thought that they were literally the same names, but the Hebrew name, the New Testament, the Greek name for Spirit and wind all were very closely related. In fact, oftentimes in the Scriptures, you sometimes may see a word translated as Spirit. You may see it translated as breath. You may see it translated as wind. And once again, that is because the ancients saw all of these things together. So today we are focusing on the wind aspect of the Spirit. Most Pentecost Sundays, we focus on the fire, which is why we often wear red and we have the red banners in the sanctuary, because we focus on the fire that comes with the Holy Spirit and lightens the fire in our hearts. And that is still present today. But today, we're going to focus a little more on the Spirit as wind and how the Spirit is often like the wind that we sense around us. Of course, in the Scripture, we read of the violent wind that erupts into the household and the tongues of flame that rest on God's people. And the people began to speak in different languages and different tongues, and people from all over could understand the word of the Lord through various languages. It is the day of Pentecost that reminds us and shows us that when we share the word of God and take this gospel forth from this place, the Spirit enables us to overcome all cultural language barriers that we may have once experienced. We believe the power of the Spirit is so strong in the church that we can find ways to overcome those basic barriers to sharing the gospel. Peter declares to the people who thought they were drunk. Peter says, no, that's not what's going on here. Peter says the day that we had been promised had come. Peter is saying, look, we've read about this before from the prophet Joel. He talks about when the prophet Joel prophesied about a time when God's Spirit would fall on men and women and they would have the ability to prophesy, to truth tell, to tell others about what God is doing in the world around them. And henceforth, the work of the Spirit would be like a wind blowing in from all directions. It was on this day that we fully acknowledge and embrace the fact that the church is a spiritual institution. It is unique and it is distinct from all other gathered people. For God's Spirit would be that marked difference that we cling to day by day. No other institution is given that distinction. You go to school, you go to work, You head into the community and join various organizations, but they are all not the same as the church. The church is present in those places, but the Spirit is upon God's people. I fall more and more in love with this particular celebration every year because it reminds me that we are not simply here to exist as an organization. We are not simply here to pay our bills, to put people on committees, and to do our duty to be at church. We are here to see God's Spirit flow out from this place. And we believe that because we are followers of Jesus, God's Spirit rests on us as individuals and also as a church body. So how does the wind tie into this whole idea of being a Spirit people? Well, we're told at the beginning that this violent wind rushes in and fills the entire house where they are sitting. The wind rushes in and reaches every corner of the house. You may have been sitting in your house on a drafty day. Maybe you're sitting in the kitchen where there's some hard floor and you can feel that draft coming in. And then you might head back to your bedroom where there's carpet and blankets and you don't feel that draft anymore. Well, the Spirit wind reaches all corners of our house. When we moved into our house last year, we discovered, hey, we have a gas fireplace. We should use it. We had a fireplace at our last home in South Georgia, but we really didn't need to use our fireplace down there. Up here in the windy city of Black Mountain, we used our fireplace quite a bit more. And we realized that when we fired up that gas fireplace, it would heat up that room really quickly. In fact, we would turn it on, it would just be a matter of mere minutes before we were feeling good, and we were cozy, and we were warm, and we were shedding the blankets and our sweatshirts and all of those good things. Of course, we did notice, though, that even with the fireplace on, we could go to other rooms in the house, and the heat had not quite reached those rooms. And so one day, I think it was our in-laws or parents, somebody suggested, turn your fans on to the winter setting. You know, where you can turn the switch upwards and it brings the air up and doesn't blow the air down. Well, we did that. And what a difference it makes when you've got a gas fireplace. Because I could go all the way to the other end of the house and head into my bathroom, and I could feel pockets of hot air that came from that fireplace because the wind had taken that heat into every room. Two things we are reminded about the Spirit's entrance into every corner of the house is that we believe that in the church, the Spirit reaches all people who come to know Christ. We believe that the Spirit reaches all corners of church life. There is nothing we do in this place where we are not guided by the Holy Spirit. Yes, this time of worship may be central to our week, but we believe that God's Spirit is present in every corner and every room of church life. And so, yes, while I encourage you to be present for this central event that we call worship, I should also tell you, and I hope you would agree, that God's Spirit is also present in your committee meetings. God's Spirit is also present in our business meetings. God's Spirit is also present when you are doing work around the church, whether inside or outside. And because of that, we should know that all we do here is important. We should know that every role we take on as a church, every individual role that you have as a calling in this church, is bathed in the Holy Spirit. We also believe that the Spirit will reach every corner of the earth. Though it may not seem immediately obvious, part of having faith in God's Spirit is we believe that it will go in all places, even the darkest corners of the world. We believe that God's Spirit is there, and that it is up to us as the church to bring awareness to God's presence in the world around us. It is important for the church to be sure we are opening doors for the Spirit and not closing them. Getting back to the heat example, of course, when we turn on our AC or open windows or turn on the heat in the wintertime, sometimes the best barrier to keep one room warm and one room not so warm or cold is to shut doors. we don't want the heat of the fireplace to reach a particular room, we'll simply shut the door. Church, it's important for us to constantly be opening doors for the Spirit to reach. It's important that we open these doors and not put up barriers or close doors for the Spirit to be seen and to be heard. As a church, we are an institution that is called to allow the Spirit to flow freely and not to block it out or to create barriers. This Spirit wind breathed life into us as a church as we seek to fulfill our mission. I mentioned earlier about the connection between breath and wind and Spirit. The passage Karen read this morning is always read on Pentecost Sunday. This Ezekiel in the Valley of the Dry Bones, which I'm trying not to hum it because me and my girls have been jamming to it all week. The Cathedral's version, but the Dry Rhythm Boys are good too. Ezekiel in the Valley of the Dry Bones. As you heard that passage, you heard about how God's life can bring together and connect and bring to life these dry bones. And yes, we may be looking at a story in the Scripture that tells us about something long ago, but I think that Scripture also has something to teach us as well. In fact, if you get on YouTube and watch the Cathedrals sing this Ezekiel in the Valley of the Dry Bones, at the beginning, one of the men in the quartet, who strangely reminds me of Mac Padgett, you both sound very much alike. I don't know what it is. You'll have to go Google and find what I'm talking about. But he says, we get up in the morning and something puts these old bones together. We believe as the church, every time we gather here and go forth in the world, really every time we wake up in our beds as Christians, there is something putting these bones together. There is something breathing life into us day by day. Because I know that if throughout biblical history we see the breath of God and the life of God and God's Spirit being breathed into people from the beginning of creation all the way throughout the course of Scripture, I think that we need that breath as well day by day. It was Jesus who told his disciples, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will be with you forever." And that helper is the Spirit of truth. Jesus says the world cannot accept him because it doesn't know or see him. You know him because he lives with you and will be in you. Jesus knew we couldn't do it alone. You'll notice that some of Jesus' final words on earth before his ascension were talking to the disciples about finding comfort, that he would send forth an advocate and a helper to be with them even as he ascended to the Father. Jesus knew we couldn't do it alone. Jesus knew that the church could not operate independently and of our own accord. And so even today, and quite frequently, day by day, we must constantly ask the Spirit of truth to descend on the church and to speak to us, and that we would have open hearts and minds to where the Spirit is leading us. It's the only way we're going to find life. The longer we attempt to do church on our own or to use our own intellects or our own energies is the moment we fail. We believe the Spirit is here with us, giving us this life and putting all these old bones together day by day. You know, I don't know how God works, but I know that he does. And I think that's the movement of the Spirit among us. It's something so mysterious, something we can't often see, but there is a presence there that gives us power, and we must listen. As we celebrate the entrance of the Spirit into the church today, I'd like to leave you with a very practical day-by-day challenge. Once again, we live in the windy city of Black Mountain, don't we? No one told me that before I moved here, but ever since living in the hospitality house, in our new house, and my garbage cans get blown across to another yard, we live in the windy city of Black Mountain here in the Swannanoa Valley. So the wind is all around us, and so I have a challenge for you. When you notice the wind, perhaps you are laying it in bed at night and you can hear the whoo through the screens. Or before one of these summer storms come in, you see the leaves blowing upwards to catch the wind. Skip ahead half a year. When we're in the midst of winter, you hear this and you feel this cold, bitter breeze. When you notice the wind, be attentive to God's Spirit and pray and listen for God's voice. I'm not saying that the wind in its very essence is God speaking directly to you, but I think if we've learned anything in this passage today and throughout the scriptural narrative, God gives us signs and God gives us things all in this creation that draw our attention to Him. So when you hear that wind blow, I would encourage you to say just a short prayer, saying, God, help me be attentive to Your Spirit today. In the same way this wind can come in from all direction, in the same way this wind is powerful and can violently shake us up, oh God, would You violently shake me to do Your work? Whether it's a hot summer day or a dry winter day, it's perhaps the closest glimpse or one of the best metaphors of how we can see God moving in our lives. When you hear the wind, I caught myself, I almost said when you see the wind. You will not see the wind, but you will feel the effects of the wind. It is in those times I would challenge you to be open to God's leading, as this early church was. It's in those times that I hope you'll remember that God's Spirit empowers you to do no thing you can do on your own, but to do divine things because His Spirit is with you. When you hear the wind, be reminded that God enables you to communicate and share the Gospels in ways that overcome cultural boundaries. Even if you say, Jeremy, I only know English, I don't know anything else, there are other ways to connect and to speak and to communicate with others. Pray that the Spirit would empower you to do that. And that when you feel alone and isolated, God's Spirit continues to move towards you and find you even in the deepest corners of the house. God's Spirit is with us today. Let's celebrate that as we prepare to go and to be attentive to what God is doing in this place and in Black Mountain. Let's pray together.